Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. Today's guests are our longtime favorites and dynamic duo, Greg and Lisa Daniel. They are here to chat about all things product development, and in particular, creating your own flagship product, that thing that you're known for, that thing that your clients talk about, that thing, that product that everybody wants to get their hands on that is immediately recognizable in your market. Creating a flagship product for your business will literally change everything. And Greg and Lisa are going to tell you how to do exactly that. Let's do it. I think that we should just start calling this the Daniel Lecture Series, because I can always feel in the ether when you guys are like percolating with something new, whether it's leaning a ladder on a wall, erasing a board, talking about too much experience being the photo at the end of the roller coaster ride, which for those of you who are listeners, have listened to those episodes, you know what I'm talking about. So Greg and Lisa Daniel are here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Love you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So fun. So fun.
And you have a new, I'm not going to say axe to grind. I'm just going to say a new flag to fly. Literally.
It's been called Soapbox too. I mean, I've been
Soapbox. Yes.
Yes.
I have many of those myself. So yeah. I love it. So what is percolating in Daniel land?
We were talking about what topic should we talk about this time? And I mean, it just came to me that one of the biggest things that changed everything for us was our flagship product, creating a flagship product. It made all the difference in the world. It has so many great features to it, and we can get into that and unravel it. But with that flagship product, it was one of those things where we were wedding photographers for so long. And then we decided, because my mentor gave me permission to go find a different business model because our kids were going to school and it was just not working for us, that he said, you need to go out and find a different business model. And with that, we found the embellished reproductions that were introduced in the art world. And we walked into that gallery and I said, oh my God, this is it. That's it. So it was interesting because looking back on it, I didn't realize it until not that long ago, but I didn't realize what an incredible opportunity that was, what a great gift that was, because I created a business that started from a product and it launched from this flagship product. So we built everything around the product, and we had built the business since I was 19. Around anybody that would come in the door at the beginning, you know, so that was all that whole wedding business that we created. And we were doing more than weddings. We were doing everything. So that whole business model was built differently than this business model. It came from a flagship product. And so go ahead.
Okay. I think I want to call out what you're saying is flagship product singular. You're not saying flagship products.
Correct.
I think that's very important. So say more.
Exactly right. I think you're exactly right. For us, it's an embellished piece that is not painted per se, because that is, for us, that is a misnomer for our clientele. They don't know what painted means. So it's embellished. Greg does the digital painting on it. He also then does the topical painting on it, but it's more of an embellished as opposed to painting the whole piece.
And in the art community where we brought it from, it would be called a mixed media.
Yes.
So we do call them mixed medias. Mixed media. And that's our clients that are collectors of art and have been in art galleries.
Understand what a mixed media is. And a little fun side note, we thought we would be fancy, you know, because we have made all the mistakes that you have a listener going, well, I'm making all these mistakes. We've made them all. And one of them was we wanted to be fancy and have a fancy name for it. So we called it a russe after talking with someone who had just a little bit of French knowledge. And so we thought, oh, that sounds so fancy. We're going to call it a russe.
Oh, man.
And then
printed all the material.
We had it all done and we called it a russe. And then one time a client said, why do you call this a russe? And I said, because it's an embellished mixed media. And she said, do you know what russe means? It's like ruse. It's a fake.
Oh my gosh.
And I said, I will never call it that again in my entire life. So it is a mixed media. There's no reason to come up with a fancy word for it. People don't know what you're talking about. Call it what it is. It's an embellished mixed media.
Yeah, the little card in an art gallery that you would see, you know, it would say on canvas, mixed media.
Yeah.
In digital art, right? So it would... And photographic, it would have all of the different medias that it was created with.
Right. So you're mixing the mediums of photography, I mean, digital photography, a canvas, and then digital painting, but then also applied oil.
Right.
And acrylics.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So mixed. Yeah. So that embellished portrait.
Mixed media. That's what we call it.
Embellished mixed media. Okay. Okay. So an embellished mixed media. So you saw the image, the piece, the mixed media piece in the gallery, you decided that you wanted to bring that into your world. And so define a flagship product. Like in your mind, what does that mean? What is the definition of a flagship product for a business?
For us, we went to Styles back then as well. So I'm going to just back up and say that we have Styles. We have three Styles. One is a flagship style. And then we have five products. One is a flagship product. So we have a flagship style and a flagship product. So when you think about us, you would think about a style, which would be environmental, maybe something at your home or something at a park or something on the beach, something environmental. It's typically when our clients in our market think of us, they think of a environmental piece, and they think of us as a very large piece on a wow wall, and it's a mixed media piece. So it's an embellished piece with mixed media being part of it, right? So that is, when they think of that, they think of the product itself, and they think of what's in the product, which would be environmental. So from a distance, from afar, if they were at a party, they walked in and they saw this piece up on this wall and it was an environmental and it looked painted, they would go, that's a Gregory Daniel, especially the seal on the bottom, because they've been taught that the seal on the bottom is a mixed media. It's the flagship product. And it's just beat into our community. It's easy to market. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to show and create. And it's so different than the field, than the whole industry as a whole.
Yes.
But when they walk in, it's a very different piece. It's something they can talk about. And it's done incredibly well for us. And it wasn't necessarily intentional. That's what is crazy about this whole thing, is that I stumbled upon it, and it just, because of the way I stumbled into it, and the way I discovered it, and the way we created it, it was right. And we look back, and all of those building blocks created an incredible business model for us.
It makes me think of like Tim Walden with the black and white relationship portraits. It's correct. Something that is immediately recognizable as yours. Immediately recognizable.
Yes. Maybe you have that. Maybe Tim has that, but he also does the doctors that come in town for the hospital, but he doesn't market that. He doesn't advertise that. It's just strictly what he markets as his flagship, which is the black and white relational pieces. Ours are the environmental, very large pieces on a wow wall with mixed media. And so it's something that you want to do. That is what you strive to do. You would be happy if every single client got one thing and that's what it was. Does that make sense?
That's a great litmus test. If their listeners that have lots of products or maybe a lot of different things that they're doing, I do feel like it starts from that, right? It starts from that, like, I love this. If I could only shoot this the rest of my life, this is what it would be. Now, are you shooting other things? Yes. But that's the thing that is like,
Feed you. Yeah. It's the feed you.
Yeah. When you start from that, it's what I would call the dream exercise, you know, where you go away and you erase the board and you sit down and you dream and you go, what would I love to do every single day? And get inspired by going and looking at, you know, art galleries or wherever you want to go look, what would just get me excited to do every single day, and create that dream and create that product and that thing. And for us, it was walking in and seeing this, you know, mixed media ballerina, a 45 inch in a gallery spot lit, just glowed at me. And, and so everything pivoted around that. I had that card on top of my desk, on top of my computer for years, because it was everything about everything I was going to create. When you find that flagship product,
how do you find style, it? How do you find it?
Well, right? You give yourself permission to look, right?
Right.
Yeah, but to your listener, how are you going to find it?
Well, it's different from everybody, but we always take them through the exercise of
in
dreaming.
Class, yes,
in
we do.
Like, dream.
Okay.
It might be, no, don't erase that. That's the question that everybody driving or that's on a treadmill is asking right now. Like, how do I find it? And so I think it is. It's like, sometimes it's walking in and seeing something that's in another industry that you're like, oh, I could do that. Sometimes it's, I feel like sometimes for me, the beginning seed of that was the first 40x60 I ever had printed of my work. Just seeing your work in a large format, there's nothing like it. Like and then I realized I am never selling digital files ever, because I want my clients to feel this when they see their family on a large scale. Like, it just elevates it to another level before you even embellish, frame, anything. It's just so cool, right? So
basically what you're talking about is the product.
Yes.
Being a 40x60. That's seven.
Yes.
But the other part is, what is your subject?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is your subject on a white background with black and white clothing and being fun and silly? Or is your subject on a dark master's background and formal clothes? What is the look?
Okay. Right. So there's layers. Okay. So let's dig into that. Okay. The layers of the flagship. I'm putting a pin in that for 1 second, because I want to talk about the layers of the flagship. Hold on. Layers of flagship. Okay. Because I want to go back a little bit. I want to say, because where does this term flagship come from? And in other industries, can we give our listeners a comparison of what is the flagship in other industries?
Well, like in, say, the car industry, what would the flagship be in a
Ford dealership?
Yeah.
Greg's going to say a truck. He says he has a Ford truck.
He's going to.
Flagship is the Ford F-150.
Yeah.
It's just a Ford truck.
The two better, but the 150 is.
No, Ivan Jones, who just bought the F-250, would say, absolutely not. It's the F-250.
That's my bet.
He just has one that's not a year old, too. Yeah.
Or there's the Rolls Royce, but it's Bentley.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
It's Hyundai, but it's Genesis.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. Right. What else? What else? Other examples?
Well, think about a pair of jeans. There's Levi's. You think of that one pair, the original Levi's. There's a million different styles of Levi's. Yeah. There's the
501.
Original 501. That's the number.
Buttonfly 501.
That they're known for.
Yep.
So it's what you're known for. Tiffany's.
Yep.
The Tiffany setting for a single diamond.
Yeah.
We could get more of those. That would be
the Harry Winston. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So it's basically the thing that when you think of that brand, it's the first thing that comes to your mind. Is that fair?
That's it.
Yeah.
And that you're immediately, like, I see a black and white relationship portrait and I don't actually care who shot it. I think first and foremost of Tim Walden.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because he was such an influencer in that space. Okay, so now we're normal photographer, portrait photographer. We're doing lots of things. We're doing branding. We're doing headshots. We're doing family portraits. We're doing seniors. We're doing weddings. Like, were you guys back in the day?
Yes. Huh?
So I think we answered our question a little bit earlier in that, what's the one thing that you just love Like if you could only do that, what would, so that's subject, right? So there's a layer of it. The one layer is, what is it? For me, it would be the family. For you, it's family or a child.
It's environmental.
It's people. It's not, well, right. It's your dog too, but I mean, but it's
feeling.
Persons in an environment.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Yes.
And there that's what, and that's when you speak of that, the subject, I think style, because yes. Prior, you know, we had categories. We thought of our work as categories, broke it up into men, women, children, seniors.
Yes.
No, birthdays.
So we broke it up in those categories. And for me, the difference was between styles. I was like, I'm going to do a style in the studio.
Yep.
Would be black and white or monochromatic in color. So those would be two styles. And I also would offer this flagship style, which would be environmental. So for me, environmental, I could go much larger. I can take an environmental.
It could be, to answer your question, it could be a child.
It could be anything.
Yep. Or it could be a family.
Right. A subject and an environment.
And he just loved the challenge of that every single time.
Right.
A lot of people would be like, oh, please don't make me figure this out every time I go somewhere, which that would be me if I was the photographer, but fortunately right. I'm not.
He loves it.
He loves that challenge of trying to create something emotional in an environment. So that right. is like, oh, I love this.
And I knew that I was designing this flagship product to go in big, large spaces, interesting spaces, the pictorial thing when you walk into the door. And because of that product, I wanted a style that I could easily fit into that product and it would look appropriate. So when you walked in, you wouldn't see like this gigantic head or a gigantic face or something that just would be awkward feeling, just because that style wouldn't lend itself to that space. So when it's environmental, I can create whatever I need to do when we're designing something for that space. So the whole initiative initially was creating this, having a flagship product that I could personally design a piece for them to go in these beautiful homes that we have all over the place.
I love that. And the thing that I think is really interesting about what you're saying is that, you know, I think with environmental work, it's been increasingly difficult to stand out in that because so many photographers shoot on location or shoot available light or whatever, are shooting in an environment. But what you're saying is that you're taking a very intentional approach. And I would apply the word cinematic to your work in that, like when you are looking at a movie, you know, or thinking like Breaking Bad, like those big, you know, the car going across the horizon line, you know, it's like this very, very large canvas of an environment. And then the subject, like, which is in this instance, like a movie, maybe it's a car is coming across, that's drawing your attention. So you're having this very large canvas, this very large background, and then the family or the subject or the dog is within that environment. Yes. Fair?
Fair? And the environment is crafted and designed to go with the interior of the home. So it's not, that's intentional as well. So the environment is not a happening of what we're going to do.
Not like an afterthought. It's very, rather than like a lot of times with a lot of environmental work, you might have like everybody posed in a triangle and then it's just a bunch of green grass behind.
Right.
Right.
No.
It's like nobody's going to, you're not going to hang that in your dining room.
That's right.
The way
you might.
Yeah. I could describe it as it's a beautiful environmental setting that you would hang in your house. And then you go, oh, those people.
Yes.
Those people.
Yes.
Because they're in there. So it's the whole thing. Yeah.
Yes. And so my flagship is very similar, the similar approach with what you just, exactly what you said. Because when we do the consultation, I'll say, what I want is that I want this artwork to be part of your home, part of the decor. Somebody walks in and they're like, oh, this is so cool. Wait, what? That's your family? Oh my gosh.
Right.
Like, but it was cool. It was a cool piece of art first.
Right.
And then the secondary reaction is that they realize, oh, wait.
Right.
This is an elevated version of your family.
Right. The way we designed this flagship product, flagship style, that's for commissioned clients. Those folks that come in and they want to commission us to create these beautiful pieces for their beautiful homes. So if they're not coming in for that, and that's not what they want, then they get channeled over to
a different,
those other,
unless it's in the studio.
It's in the studio.
We can do those quick and easy And it doesn't require nearly the time or the thought and effort to create something in the studio.
And we don't have to travel an hour to go.
Now, if we were in the opposite place, like for you to be in the studio is what you are known for, and to not be in the studio, I mean, in your case, you don't do it, but it for a lot of people, not being in the studio, you're not getting the ATJ. You're not getting,
right.
You're not getting what she's known for.
Or she could just do a green background.
Yeah. Well, no. That worked it.
Right.
Or not.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No. No, it's true, but it's interesting because I think your flagship and my flagship are a really good illustration that part of it has nothing to do with time, really.
Right.
It's kind of. Because like for me, my flagship is in studio. And so, but there is still wardrobe time, conceptualization, like shooting time. I mean, again, we're not shooting that long, but so sometimes I think we do get hung up on that, especially people that come at a wedding think, oh, I can't charge for families because I didn't spend as much time as I spent on a wedding.
No.
I just want to make sure we're not linking those two things. Okay. So clients call, and generally what are they falling into? Like you're probably getting a lot of people that are saying, okay, I want the flagship thing. They're not using that terminology. No. Are you still getting some that like think they want that, but then how are they getting over into other areas that are not flagship? Like, how does that work?
Well, let's say they come in on either an auction or a gifting of some sort.
Okay.
A gift certificate of some sort, or they're coming in because their friend told them to what have you, but they don't know that much about us yet. So right. I say, okay, so let me just tell you a little bit about Gregory Daniel Portraits. We have three styles. One is our environmental, and that's where we will go on location to anywhere you would like, actually. Now, there will be additional fees if you want to go out of the country, which would be fine too. But stay within an hour, the fees are the same, but we can go to a park, the beach, your backyard, whatever is personal to you, and we'll get there. We'll figure that out, but it will be at an environmental location outside somewhere. That is one particular price structure for the session. If we don't want to do that, there are two other price structures that your gift certificate covers, and that is these two in the studio. And the one on environmental has a minimum purchase. If you prefer to stay in the studio, there's no minimum purchase and there's no additional fees that are due for the session fee. Is there one of these that looks better to you than another? And I can usually have already, I could tell before that even happens because I can see where their eyes are sitting. And so I know where they're going. But, and you can tell by their body language if they flinch when they hear additional monies or not. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, well, tell me more about this environmental. And then we'll look at some different examples and they'll show me pictures of their home. And that's how we zoom in on there. And most people end up going that direction because most people, now I'm not going to say all, but most people come because they have a friend and somebody's mentioned it to them and they're at this function and they get the gift certificate, or they come in because so-and-so told them, but they really don't know where to begin or much about us. So they just need that understanding. So that's how we kind of divide it up.
We're sifting, basically. We have three doors that people come into. One is a gifting door. One is an invite door. Mm-hmm. And one is an institutional door where they saw us someplace from our branding. And then they're going to call or they're going to contact us some way. Those are the three doors that they come through. And we know if they come through a gifting door, the gift, they'll only have a gift that is for the non-flagship. They don't get gifts for the flagship. So we know immediately when they come
very in. Very important.
Yes.
Extremely. So
when they walk in the door, they might have a gift certificate, and all she's sifting because she's finding out they're holding it in their hand. Are you a commission person coming through the door because you just did a dadgummit? I need to do this. I'm going to buy this gift certificate. If that's you, she can tell like that. And if it's a commission, you can put the gift certificate down now. It doesn't mean anything.
We're going to create something.
And we're going to create something beautiful.
That's just yours.
If it's something where they have never heard of us and they bought it because it was a gift, they might turn into a commission. I mean, mm-hmm. you start taking them down the paths, what she just talked about, is what she was doing. And they might turn into a commission like that. They look around, they go, I had no idea this existed. Yes, I want one. Or they go, no, I'm just here for a gift. Well, okay, then.
You can come on Tuesday at 2:00.
Yeah, and we'll give you a beautiful product. We're going to give you what we would call a taste of a Gregory Daniel portrait. So, sure. And they're going to have a wonderful event. And some of those folks turn into commissioned people.
Later.
Yes.
Or during the process, they become a commissioned person. It's kind of interesting how they do that. But the most powerful door that people come through are the invite door, where Lisa calls them and goes, it's time. And there maybe they were a collector, or maybe they were somebody from the past, or somebody's getting ready to go off to college or whatever. And she triggers them. And that's the door that's magical, because it's the door we work with. The other doors, we don't hardly do much. We've just been around long enough to where they don't come in those doors much.
Yeah.
Hardly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because most all of them are coming in from
things world.
We're very old. We're
same.
Seasoned. We're seasoned.
Seasoned.
Well seasoned.
Mature yeah. and wise. I'm just going to say wise.
We'll go wise. Yeah, yes. Wise is the word we'll use. Wise. Yeah.
Okay. I do want to ask you though, I want to jump out for a second and just ask you about, how do you feel like the auction situation is going lately?
Not as well as it was a long time ago.
No, it's different.
I think people are tired of functions like that. Very.
Yeah. Quickly.
And I also see in our area, the same people go to every auction and it just isn't the same as it used to be. It's much slower. It's just not. But I will also be fair in saying I used to attend a lot of them. I would go, I would schmooze, I would explain what our gift certificate was. If I saw somebody looking at it, I worked them. I'm not doing that anymore. So right. I don't know if it's a fair assessment for me to say, because
that's why I'm laughing. I'm thinking she's talking about herself.
I'm not doing what I used to do.
Right. But I do feel like it is different. I feel like so many of them have gone online. You know, a lot of them don't want you to have stuff sitting there that you can look to feel touch. So anyway, I just wanted to ask about that, because I know I get a lot of questions about that. Like, are auctions still a viable? I still think they're viable, even if nobody ever bought it. They can just still see that it's a presence, right?
I think they're viable, but I just come at it.
Rely on it. I come, totally.
No, and I come at it from a little different perspective. I think of auctions in the philanthropic world. And I think in terms of, for me personally, I'm just talking about me personally. I love it when I get involved, and I still do some of this, where if I believe in a philanthropic organization, in my heart, I believe I will go volunteer. I will be part of, I will give back. And when you give back and you're with these people and you're doing it for the right reasons, you do, it does come back to you. But if you're doing it for the comeback, it's going to get exhausting.
Well, it's going to be, it's transactional, and it's always going to stay on that level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for us, I feel so much better within my own soul when I'm loving on somebody else and then you get love in return. And that is such a different world when I'm in that world doing that. And we still do that today. And I will work with, if they're volunteer philanthropic organizations and boards and that sort of thing, because they give back and I can give back as well.
He's talking about is we will offer different things for those folks so that we can work with them a little bit more. But
but whatever it is that you can give or that you feel like giving. But if you're just going in there for like a silent auction to here's my gift certificate and that, it's going to be like what you said, very transactional. And those kind of things then all of a sudden get disrupted when, say, the new technology is out and we can do this by Zoom. We can do this by, you just go online and you go pick. And that kind of, now the transactional thing gets disrupted because you were doing it this way and you were getting it this way. You know, it's very transactional. But You know what's not changing because of all the digital world is relationships.
Relationships, yep.
It's when you go in and you have a relationship with the organization and the philanthropy, and they know who you are, you know who they are, and you do life together because you love each other. That's a different world to work in from a philanthropic. So that door that comes through, yeah, I don't get as many that file through that door, but ones that file through that door is because there was a relationship there and we're doing something. And it's
okay. I think that's so good.
A whole different approach.
You beat that horse.
I'm sorry.
No, you didn't beat it. I don't think you can beat that enough. But basically, the reason why I ask that is because, you know, you teach, you do mentoring. We all want the easy button.
Yes.
We all want the, like, what is the email that I can send out that will have 100% qualified leads beating my door down, and it doesn't exist.
It's not even at all.
It never has, it never will. No. And so it's just how hard are you willing to work, and what relationships are you going to build? And part of that relationship is following up with people and calling them and all of those things. So I just wanted to, I'm beating my own dead horse with you beating your dead horse.
Well, I wrote myself a note here real quick, because while you guys were doing all that,
yes, okay.
Part of, I think, the problem for a flagship piece like what we have, where it's an embellished mixed media at an auction, is you can't see, feel, and touch it. And an embellished piece that we have elevates our portrait to another level. It is, you know, people will walk in and go, is that a picture? Is that a painting?
Yeah.
What is it? So then I can explain to them what it is, and I don't have that opportunity if they can't see, feel, and touch it, you know,
yes,
and all that kind of stuff. But I think for our world, it really elevates it. And that's something Greg is teaching now too, is how to do the embellishment, because I think a lot, you know, he struggled for a long time trying to figure it out and went to all kinds of artist friends, took classes, did all the things. And oh my gosh, it makes a huge difference. And I have my potential clients touched a couple of different ones of our pieces that are on the wall, because I want them to feel it. And I explained that you cannot touch your friends or your neighbors when you walk into their house. That's not okay.
No.
But you can touch this one here because it is meant for that. And I think that's something that a lot of photographers might need to learn how to do, is create those pieces, because it does take them and make them different.
Okay. So I have questions.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I can imagine, because I try to imagine all of the possible ways this could go sideways when you're deciding to do your flagship product. Like, okay, I've decided I want to do something like you, and I'm going to do an environmental portrait, and I'm going to embellish it, and I'm going to sell it in this way. What I can imagine that you get, and maybe I'm wrong, is, well, can you just do the portrait but not do the embellishments and have it be cheaper?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
So tell me more.
Yes, you can. Let me take you on a little field trip. We're going to go around the studio. I'll show you the differences, and you can tell me what you like.
Okay.
And,
there
are some people that do not want any of the embellishment on there. It's few and far between. But those that do, there are also a couple of different levels to where Greg takes it. Maybe he takes it to a real chunky...
impressionistic.
Yeah, which I personally love if there is no face involved.
Okay.
If the face is looking sideways or some other way. If the face is involved, I don't like it quite as chunky, because you can't chunk up a face really well and have to love it. Yeah, so that's a fine line to go. But yes, so we'll walk around and we'll look at the different ones. However, those that are embellished have the seal. And so you can always tell when you go into your friend's homes that it is an embellished piece because of the seal right here.
Okay. So again, that's another layer of flagship. Okay. So there's subject, environment or not, right? It was a style, technique, right? Because it could be lighting.
Yeah.
You know, like for Tim, it's the black turtlenecks. It's the emotionally lit. It's black and white. And then packaging, or what's the layer? Like framing, I would say packaging would be the seal, but like the cherry on top, like the thing that's not available in any other way.
It's handmade frames.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have beautiful closed cornered handmade frames.
Yeah.
They can be modern, can be Renaissance, they can be filled with roses, they could be gold, they could be black, they could be...
They just can't be curved.
No.
Okay. We had one
who had a big curved wall on top of his staircase and he wanted to be curved.
Yeah. Dude, I know.
It's like, yeah, that would be so cool, but no.
No. Couldn't do. You're like, it's called a radius. And it's very different in every single house. Yeah. And no.
No.
The answer is curves are problems. Yeah.
Yeah, just backlight it.
Yeah.
Just ask God.
Float it off the wall and backlight it.
Yeah. But yeah. So yeah, it has all those parts to it. You would walk in and see it and you go, oh, that's a Gregory Daniel.
But like you asked, we do have five products. So, and they're for five purposes of...
Okay. Tell me what they are.
I don't know if we want to get it.
Peel
back very much, but it a reason I'm mentioning that is people go, is that all you do? No, but that's really all we're known for.
It's
what we market. You come into our gallery or our studio, whichever one, and you walk in and it's surrounded with flagship product. And if you want the next product, we will take you down the hall and we'll show you the other products, right? But there's five products because there are other products, like we call our flagship the milk, right? So it's you go to the back of the grocery store to get the milk, and then you're merchandised on the way there and you're merchandised on the way back. Right? But you went for the milk. So the milk is basically the flagship in this case, right? We're thinking about that as the flagship. And then you end up with other things in your shopping cart other than the milk. But your intention was to go get milk, right? So that's the way our design is kind of set up, where it is where we market for flagship, but along the way, along this journey of the commission of the flagship, they might want other things in their basket for other purposes. So we have the wow wall, which is the big wall, the predominant wall. That's the flagship. That's the mixed media. Then we have a creative art line, which is how I take an image all the way up to painting it digitally, up to painting it digitally, not painting at all. So there's no paint digitally. But it's heavy art all the way up to that point, and then it's printed on canvas, and then it's varnished on the top. So that piece is
secondary
wall. So it's more like over a credenza or in an entryway over on the side, you know, maybe a table, maybe over a couple of chairs, things like that. So that's a bit smaller, but it's a secondary wall. So then our third product is for what we call a transitional wall. So it's the small wall between maybe a door and a window or going down a hallway, something like that. And that is a floating art piece product. So it's an art piece, it's on art paper. And it floats in a frame with maybe a little bit of a mat that floats with it. So it's just a floating art kind of piece. And that's designed for that purpose. And then the fourth are gift portraits, which are 5x7s, 8x10s, things that you give as gifts and put on credenzas, right? And then the fifth one is a legacy album. So that's the remaining images that they didn't pick from if we thought that they were going to go down that route. I do not photograph for every one of those products, but Lisa will let me know ahead of time that we're designing this piece. They came in for this piece. It's going to be this size. We're going to this color harmony, blah, 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 blah. And so I know how to design and create that. She says, but we're going to be doing some other pieces for them. Mm-hmm. She knows.
Based on what you've the conversation that you had with them.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I could just tell, you know, that she hadn't thought that far out. I say she is usually my clientele.
Sure.
That she hasn't thought that far out, and she just loves her kids and loves the other parts of them that aren't just going to be hanging above the fireplace. So I can tell, or that this is just all they can do is to have this one beautiful piece that they have saved for. They've always wanted it. The children are at the right age. We've got to do it. And it's a stretch. Then we're not going to embarrass her by having more that she can't get.
No.
We're not going to stress out everybody out, including Greg, photographing them.
Yeah.
So we'll do three or four different looks of the whole family.
And they might only see one image. They only might see one piece done. That's it. So it's to that extreme, one or the other. And I'll know going into it where Lisa wants me to take it. And so because I need to know to photograph or capture the pieces that will go in there, because each one of those takes different kind of imagery.
He's talking about us products.
Yeah. The five.
Yes.
Yeah. So I will create imagery that fit in those products. And if they come in at the end and see, you know, these pieces that we're finished with, let's say I created all five products imagery, they would see in a show, basically they're seeing images that would go in all of those products in order, basically backwards.
Yes.
So at the end is their commissioned piece, sell it back up, sell the next one back up, sell the next one back up. It's none of this, this or that, this or that, this or that.
No.
It's an image. There's only one image of that scene or that I created, and it's for these purposes. Anyway, that we could go for
hours. We're going to. It's happening right now. And I cannot agree with you more on that single image of the family. The more I do that, the better it is. And people fight me on that, not my clients, other photographers. Like, no. They have to choose. They have to be able to choose.
Oh, no.
And it's like, no, they don't. They don't.
No, it's finished.
It's your job.
I'm 90% finished with it when you see it. It's pretty much done.
Now, I will tell you, we use ProSelect.
Yes.
In my way of doing it, we put all of our, quote, no's in level two or in number two or the medium face, I put them in there. And then if they say, well, I just don't like Ashley's face, let's go face shopping. So we'll pull up a number of those from the session with just Ashley's face. We'll pick up Ashley, done.
Yep.
Oh, but look at that one right there. That looks great of Ashley, but not of so-and-so. We're not looking at so-and-so.
No.
We're only looking at Ashley.
Yes. Okay. And so so I just want to highlight that in case somebody listened to that and didn't get that. What Lisa is saying is that, I'm going to mansplain Lisa, is that they're showing one image of the family. And what everybody freaks out about on that is that, well, they're going to look at it and say, oh, my daughter, which your daughter happens to be Ashley, I don't like her face. Okay, great. Let's go look. Now, you're not going into all the images that you shot. You're going into a few other options, and then you're keeping control. So when the mom is like, oh, well, let's look at all of those others. No, we're just looking at Ashley's face because we like everything else. And you have to take control of it. You have to keep control of it.
Yeah.
They want you to keep control of it.
Yes. Yes.
You're not doing your job if you're not keeping control of it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have 100% control, and I'll go, nope, we can come back to that later if we need to, but we're not doing that now. So I won't make
And you are the nicest, sweetest, tiny little person. So I just want to for those of you who are fraidy cats out there that think that you cannot take control and that you need to let the client run this, it's like you are doing yourself and your client the hugest disservice by letting them control it, because they don't know what we know. Like, we are the experts.
Right.
And so if beautiful ballerina Lisa Daniel can take control, I mean, people know I can take control because I'm like bossy cow, but if you can, it's even more. If Lisa Daniel can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, I do hold control. Yeah. Yeah, but there's a way to say it. So you say, well, we'll come back to if we decide we don't like Ryan anymore. So unless we're just looking at Ashley, and then I pop out of it. Or I have also done where I find one that looks bad of everybody but Ashley. Pull it up. They go, oh, yeah, you're right. And then that's it. I do that too.
She's really good at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And so this is part of it. I think when you're doing the in-person sales, there's so many layers to it that I think a lot of times in the industry, we're like, okay, well, you should be doing in-person sales. Great. But how? There's so many layers to that, right?
Yes, that's a whole
How many images are you showing? I know this is, we could do a series, right? This is next on the soapbox.
Yeah.
Is how many images are you showing and keeping control of that?
Yeah, that's
a whole different podcast.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, we're doing it.
Okay. We'll do it.
Okay. So I love that. All right. So that you will let them have, I don't want to use the word dumb it down, but like you will let them pull back from a fully embellished situation, and you have a price for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. Mm-hmm. So that's great. So you've anticipated that need.
Yes.
Yeah. We have different kind of embellishments around. So we have,
we call it, you know, real tight where it looks a little more photographic. And maybe there's some that look very, very, very painterly. So they can say, well, I really like this look. Great. Yeah. That will give Greg the note and he will make it more like this.
So it's all about merchandise. I think there's very little merchandising in our industry where people, you know, where you're set up.
That's another class.
Where you're set up to be able to turn as you're doing a consultation, turn and go, or a sale, you know, when you're doing the order appointment, where you can go, do you like this or do you like this? This is tight. This is loose. Which one do you prefer? Things like that. This is the mixed media. This is the creative art. If you want to see the creative art, let's walk down the hallway and turn and go. And it's over by the bathroom. Yeah. So, all merchandising. It's all the way. It's how big business teaches us already on how to purchase.
Yeah, they put the cereal that's expensive at eye level for children, and they put the cheap stuff either way up higher. Wait, it's the same deal.
We're not recreating the wheel. It's already there. We've been trained by all big business to do this. So why don't we just take cues from them instead of like trying to churn it within our own industry and don't really know what we're doing in terms of merchandising?
Right. Well, the thing that I think that's so compelling about what you're saying with this flagship is that you've narrowed it so narrow.
Yes.
But even as narrow as that flagship is, there's so many options within it, right? So it's like, and most photographers we're selling 55 options in 55 different products.
Yeah, wow.
So it's like, so people that are feeling like, well, I couldn't niche it down that much because then people wouldn't have a choice. It's like, no. You actually have a lot of choice within this one thing, but that feels very doable.
Yes.
It feels very, like, it feels like they have choice,
mm-hmm.
but
oh, yes.
yet it's very peaceful.
Yes.
It's easy to select. Environmental portrait, chunky, painterly, photograph.
Yes.
Yes. Which
one?
There it is.
Yeah. Pick one.
Don't have to pick until
they see their images. I mean, they don't have to make all these decisions up front. Just want them to know those options exist.
This is what we're designing for. We will get the finish.
Don't worry about those decisions now. Just let's start at the beginning and figure out where we're going to go. Yeah. But
they do come in. If they walk through the door and go, so this one with the seal, that's what Sally has, right? Yeah. Okay. Well.
Yep.
We're there.
You don't want to not have the seal.
No.
That's right.
No, got to have that seal.
Yeah, because Sally's going to judge you if you don't have
that
seal.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
And I also have them touch the seal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I love that.
Yeah, I think we need to use our senses when we're, and you know, here's a whole nother, I'm not opening up another box, but when you're selling, I think, which is at the beginning of the marketing, you still have to you have to use as many senses as you can. So smell, taste, touch, all those things. So if we can touch the things, I think it's helpful.
We'll have to get into the 12 incredible elements of a fantastic story someday too. Opening up boxes.
We're just going to do a Greg and Lisa Daniel lecture series. And
make it an exit school class if you can solve the problem.
But I do feel like that this is really helpful for the creative mind, in that one of the biggest objections that I hear from students about not wanting to niche down is they feel like they might get bored the clients aren't going to want that. And I feel like that it's that actually limiting, like we all have learned, right, as creatives, that if you limit your variables, you actually are more creative.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so if we can do that with our product line, then we can get really creative within that flagship. Like, so you're talking about like an environmental portrait shot in a certain way. That seems very, very narrow, but then you're describing different ways to present that, different ways to have it painted or not painted, different ways to frame it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that you can go, but you're still within that flagship product that's instantly recognizable as your own.
Mm-hmm. You get an A+.
Yeah, you did good.
Well, because I've sold it both ways, and you guys have too. Yeah. Like you've done it where you're like, okay, well, we could print this on canvas, we could print it on acrylic, we could print it on metal, and people are just going, wait, hold on, I am on the floor now, and you made me spend an hour going yes, no, maybe on each one of those faces, and now you're going to make me figure out what to print it on.
No,
I'm going to go home and think about it.
No.
Is what your client would say, and now you've just lost the sale.
Right. Because then every time they think about it, they still think about all those decisions that they have to make because nobody guided them through it.
Right.
And a lot of those techniques, actually, we learned when we started having interior designers help us with our home, because
she gave two choices of a chair.
This or this.
Two choices of the fabric. Two choices of a rug. And if you don't like either one, then they'll go, okay, well, let's find two more. But sure. Look through all the books.
Where they go to, if I say it, she would say to me, so if let me know when you want to do it correctly. And
it's a great find a less expensive way. And she's like, well, we're either going to do it right or we're not going to do it at all.
My sister, sorry, my sister, the interior designer, calls that value engineering. So you could use that with your interior designer next time. I don't want it cheaper. I just want to can we value engineer this? make it cheaper. So value engineer means it also means dumb it down.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting though, and I'm sure you've seen this with clients when they come in and they're looking at that flagship product, is that, you know, because obviously you have a price for if it has the seal and if it doesn't. And so some people might be like weighing between those two things. But it's how you talk about it is not like, well, the reason it's more is because it takes more time to paint and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
No, you just.
Yeah. So how are you talking about
that? Don't give them explanations. It's right. I don't go up to it and touch it and feel it and talk about how, you know, that has all this embellishment and then say, and it's so much money.
Right.
I just show them the product so they start to want it. And then we walk around so that they see all the others and I show every one of our products. I said, so now you know what we have. So let me also explain to you that we do everything here by the linear inch. So it's not square inch, it's linear. So it could be a 60 by 60, it can be a 60 by one. It doesn't matter, it's a 60 inch print to me because 60 is the biggest number. So I'm gonna give you a little test, 8 by 10, 10 is the biggest number, it's a 10 inch to me. So that's very simple, that's the way we do our pricing. So now let me show you, here are the embellished pieces, here are the creative art pieces, and then here are the fiber art, floating art pieces. These are our three price structures, just like that.
Yeah.
That's it. They can look and see whatever they want. So there's no, I usually don't say dollars. I never use that word, dollar.
Yeah, right.
But I also don't usually say money information to them. I let them look at it because sure. I don't know where their eye is going to go. Is it going to go to the lowest point or is it going to go to the highest point or in the middle? So I just show it to them. And I said, I don't want you to make a decision today. All I want you to know is that we are after 100% transparency. I want you to know who we are, what we do, what the price structure is. We'll figure it out from there. Is this something that's doable for you?
It's what Sarah would say at Out of the Blue in Blue Ridge. She would say, just trying to educate you.
It's a wine shop.
She's been there. She got it.
I've been there.
You have been there. Yeah.
Eliminates the possibility of mistakes.
That's right.
There you go.
I have a quote from Sarah.
I'm not trying to upsell you at all. I just want to educate you on the differences.
Right.
Yeah.
What she said. Yeah. I'm like, okay, got it.
So good. I know. Yeah. That woman has inspired so many.
Yeah. A lot of people.
She has.
Yeah. I love it. Then just to put a cherry on top of this, what do you feel like the flagship, that honing in and creating a flagship product for your business, what difference has that made?
Oh,
Give me some ideas, thoughts.
Well, I just took us from being, I would call it a commodity photographer, to a designer, where people crave that piece. So recognizable. All these beautiful handbags that are out and everybody loves all these gorgeous handbags. There's a million other handbags out there that do the exact same job. But because they are flagship pieces for those companies, you know what it is. You know what the value is. You know that those people value status. I feel like it has given us that. It's also freed our minds from having to constantly figure out now, how do we make this next unusual product? And how do we, you know, go to a trade show and not buy a million things because they all are cool, but do they fit our look in our flagship? No. You know, so I think that makes a difference.
And when you're known for one exceptional product, you can charge an exceptional price for that one exceptional product. And as far as creativity goes, you know, and you know, I don't have to do what we do anymore. We don't have to be in business anymore. And I say that to say, I do this because I love creating these pieces all the way through and into retirement. It's what I enjoy doing. I get to create art when I wake up and I do this wonderful thing. It's not like I come to work every day, or we only work a few days a week. So, but when we do, I'm here creating and enjoying doing that. So it can last into, it's my golf, right?
Yeah.
It's my fishing. It's what I love to do.
But you also love educating.
And I do love educating. Obviously, and that's why we teach the workshops.
Yeah, because he loves the educational part. He's a teacher by nature.
Yeah.
I've often said if we homeschooled our children, my children wouldn't be living any longer. But if Greg homeschooled them, they would be geniuses.
Yeah, so, totally.
You know, he's a teacher by nature. So he loves doing the pieces for our clients, and he loves doing the educational and the workshops. And I mean, I can't tell you how many nights he doesn't sleep ahead of time, even though he's done it over and over again, because he wants to make it right for the folks that are coming in the door. I mean, he just, that's who you are. Yeah.
I love that. Well, and you've inspired, you know, generations of photographers and continue to do that, and highly, highly recommend. I mean, we share a lot of the same students that just, like, you know, have loved going into your workshops and learning how to do the painting. And we'll definitely link to those in the show notes so that people can have access to that information. But the thing that I think that I'm taking away from this, and that I hope that our listeners take away from this, is that you can pull up your website and pull up my website and say two incredibly different photographers, but very similar thought process.
Yes.
Very, very aligned.
Yes.
And there's more than one way to be successful in this business. And you don't have to be you. You don't have to be me. There can be a third, a fourth, a fifth, a 10th, a 15th, that you are a market of one. And so if you are a market of one, make a flagship product for your market.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In a big town or a little town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, you guys are the best. I appreciate you so much.
You're so sweet. It's always fun.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. Hi, Rework friends. It's ATJ. Just jumping on to wish you the happiest of holidays. I hope that you get a chance to rest up from all the crazy and spend great quality time with those you love the most. We are so thankful for your time and attention for this last season of the Rework podcast, and look forward to seeing you in early 2026 to kick off the new year with a whole bunch of great guests and information to help you uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell your very best work. Happy holidays.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dotherework.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.